This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll start with your commodities from the Chicago Board of Trade, where corn finished higher on the December contract at 375, up 3/4. March corn finished at 384 and 3/4, up 3/4. And May finished at 392 and 1/4, up 1 penny. Beans also finished higher. January finished at 915, up 5 1/4. March beans finished at 928 1/4, up 5 1/2. And May beans finished at 941, also up 5 1/2. Wheat finished lower. December finished at 509 3/4, down 5. March wheat finished at 521, down 4 1/4. And May wheat finished at 528 1/2, down 3. Soybean meal, however, finished higher, with December finishing at 308.90, up $1. January finished at 310.90, up 90 cents. And March soybean meal finished at 314.70, up 80 cents. Soybean oil finished higher as well, with December soybean oil finishing at 28.71, up 19 cents. January finished at 28.66, up 20 cents. And March soybean oil finished at 29.21, up 19 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain report.
This is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends as prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. USDA reports mostly left corn and soybean production levels unchanged today at 178.9 bushels per acre for corn and 52.1 bushels per acre for soybeans. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher at 337 to 365. Soybean bids were mostly 5 to 6 cents higher at 827 to 851. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly a penny higher at 341 to 363. Soybean bids are mostly 4 to 5 cents higher at 846 to 890. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are mostly a penny higher at 335 to 373. Soybean bids are 3 to 5 cents higher at 835 to 874. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were up 3 to 5 cents at 869 to $9. Basis was down 2 to unchanged at 46 to 15 under the January. High-pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $2.87 to $3.04 per ton. Basis was down 1 to unchanged at $23 to $6 under the January. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were up 3/4 at $3.61 to $3.76 with basis unchanged to $23 to $8 under the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids up 3/4 at $3.57 to $3.66. Basis was unchanged at $27 to $18 under the March. Soybeans ended up 5 at 855 to 865. Basis was unchanged at 60 to 50 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed the producer corn bid steady to up 2 at 379 to 381. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 cents with quotations at 880 to 883. Soft wheat closed 4 cents lower at 546. Milo ended the day 6 cents higher at $4. Contract bids for producers for January delivery in the northern part of the state for corn ranged from 341 to 367, and for soybeans at 830 to 862. Contract bids for producers for January delivery in the central part of the state for corn ranged from 345 to 367, and for soybeans ranged at 854 to 890. Contract bids for producers for January delivery in the southern part of the state ranged from 345 to 378 for corn, and 849 to 880 for soybeans. Contract bids for producers for June-July wheat ranged from 492 to 531. That concludes our report. This is Jeff Evers with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle traded higher, where December finished at 118.37, up 80 cents. February live cattle finished at 122.15, up 95 cents. And April live cattle finished at 124.52, also up 92 cents. Feeder cattle finished higher as well, with January finishing at 147.30, up $2.27. March feeder cattle finished at 144.90, up $2.15. And April feeder cattle finished at 145.20, up $1.75. Lean hogs finished lower, with December finishing at $54.45, down 27 cents. February lean hogs finished at 65.20, down $1.62, and April lean hogs finished at 71.45, down 62 cents. At this time, we'll move on to your cash livestock numbers from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 58 cents lower in a range of $42 to $47.89, with the weighted average carcass price of $46.58. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 21 to 32, 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 35, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 40. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 26 to 34. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts have totaled 19,434. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $117 and on a dress basis traded at $187. Heifers on a live basis traded at $113.50 and on a dress basis traded at $187. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 442 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $73.33, which was 68 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $214.46, which was 96 cents lower, with select carcasses at $201.39, which was 45 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 122,000 compared to 121,000 for last week and 117,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 479,000 compared to 478,000 for last week and 468,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Starting off with the latest Farm Bill news from Washington, leadership of the Farm Bill Conference report late Monday released the text of the bill to be considered by Congress later this week. The 2018 Farm Bill, titled the Agriculture Improvement Act of 2018, reflects a hard-fought bipartisan bicameral agreement on a 5-year farm bill to strengthen U.S. agriculture, according to leadership. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts thanked his counterparts in announcing the text for coming to and staying at the table to reach a bipartisan agreement. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Mike Conway says, passing a farm bill this week that strengthens the farm safety net is vitally important. The conference report was signed by the Senate, House, and Farm Bill conferees and will be considered with a vote in both chambers likely today and tomorrow. So what's in the 2018 Farm Bill? As expected, the 18 Farm Bill deal recedes to the Senate in leaving out other House GOP food stamp work requirements, but pairs SNAP funding by almost $1.1 billion. That through improved data accuracy, quality control, and cuts in aid to community food projects. The final version keeps the expands the EQIP and CSP conservation programs and increases CRP acreage from 23 million acres to 27 million acres. Producers are given new flexibility to choose between ARC and PLC, with PLC reference prices allowed to float upwards based on 85% of the 5-year Olympic average if there's a rebound in market prices. The AGI, or the Adjusted Gross Income Eligibility Limit, for farm payments remains at $900,000, and there's no limit on the number of farm managers eligible for payments. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has sought a limit of one actively engaged manager. Instead, the final bill allows first cousins, nieces, and nephews with invested capital, labor, and management to receive farm payments. Ag staffers defended the practice in Monday's press briefing as a compromise to keep relatives on the farm where costs are getting higher and the average age of the farmer is more than 60 years old. Also in the final bill is a new dairy margin coverage program to help smaller dairies. Industrial hemp can now be covered by crop insurance contracts, but is not eligible for Title I subsidies. In other national news, former Agriculture Secretary Bob Berglund died over the weekend. The former secretary in the Jimmy Carter administration from northern Minnesota served agriculture at a time when Carter made an unpopular decision to embargo grain sales to the Soviet Union. The 90-year-old Berglund, a Democrat, served the House of Representatives in the 1970s before becoming Agriculture Secretary. Following Carter's tenure as president, Berglund later served as Vice President and General Manager of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association and as a regent at the University of Minnesota. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson said in a statement, noting that Berglund also served the same congressional district in Minnesota as he does, said that Berglund served the 7th District of Minnesota exceptionally well before taking his farming experience and work ethic to the USDA. Back here locally, the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting wrapped up a little over a week ago, so I caught up with Farm Bureau manager Katie Wilson to talk about what the local members had accomplished at the annual meeting. Katie, thanks for stopping in. What have been some things that the Montgomery County Farm Bureau has done this past month?
Well, Gabe, it's been a busy month. Every year, the first weekend in December, we head to Chicago for our annual meeting. So just returned home from that last week, and I'm happy to say the meeting, the conference went really well, and I have a couple of young leaders I'd like to brag about while I have the chance. Heath Houck, who's from Nokomis area, actually was serving not only on our local Young Leader Committee in the county, but he also was serving as chairman for the state committee. And he gave a retiring address at the annual meeting in Chicago and did a very nice job. And I know he's had a busy year, but he was able to experience a lot of rewarding, trips and activities and got a network with young leaders across the state. So just wanted to congratulate Heath on an awesome year and a nice job on his speech. And we also had a state discussion meet participant, Claire Geiger, who is also from the Nokomis area. She actually serves as one of the FFA advisors for Nokomis High School. Participated in that. She started at the district level, won the district meet, and advanced on to state, and actually made it to the Sweet 16 round of the discussion meet. She didn't advance on to the Final Four, but was very close, so just wanted to congratulate her on a good job, and she did a really nice job representing Montgomery County. So just a few things that took place at the annual meeting in Chicago, but we had a great time, and it went really well.
That's great, Katie. It sounds like you're proud, and I'm sure everyone at the Farm Bureau is proud of Heath and Claire and all of their efforts up for at the Farm Bureau meeting this year. So kind of switching gears here, back here in Montgomery County, you have something going on this weekend that you'd like to talk about, Katie?
That's right. So as I said already, we've got things that go on locally and then also statewide. So this is a local program. It's the inaugural program for this, I guess we'll call it. This Saturday, which is December 15th, we are co-sponsoring an event that's called A Very Country Christmas. We're working on this with Greg Holcomb's office out of Hillsboro. He's a country financial representative. So this is a family event, and it's for the kiddos, and we're celebrating Christmas. There's going to be games. There's going to be an opportunity to get a picture with Santa Claus. Have some treats out of Mrs. Claus's kitchen, and it's all happening in Hillsboro at the Moose Lodge. And this starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday and runs until 11 a.m., and it's free. Free event, open to the public, and we just invite you to bring your family and to have some fun and celebrate Christmas with us.
And that was Katie Wilson, Farm Bureau Manager of Montgomery County. In news from the National FFA Organization, the National Convention and Expo will remain in Indianapolis till 2031. The annual National Convention and Expo, which has been held in Indianapolis since 2016, hosts more than 67,000 attendees from across the country. The event was estimated to have an economic impact of $39.8 million for Indianapolis during 2018. The National Convention and Expo utilizes downtown venues, including Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Lucas Oil Stadium, the Indiana Convention Center, the Indiana State Fairgrounds, and event hotels. The National FFA Convention and Expo, much like the National FFA headquarters, is right at home here in Indiana, said Governor Eric Holcomb. Indiana is ready and committed to support this event and welcome with open arms the 67,000 FFA members and guests who will come to our capital city each of the next 9 years. Today's news conference confirms that Indiana's reputation is strong and growing stronger, and I appreciate FFA's commitment to build on our already robust agricultural heritage in the coming years. The National FFA Convention took place in Kansas City, Missouri, from its inception in 1928 until 1998. Louisville then hosted the event from 1999 to 2005, with Indianapolis being the host city from 2006 through 2012. In 2009, the organization announced the National Convention and Expo would rotate every 3 years between Indianapolis and Louisville, with Louisville hosting the event from 2013 through 2015, and Indianapolis hosting the event from 2016 until this past October. In 2015, the decision was made to move the convention back to Indianapolis from the years 2016 through 2024. As the membership of the organization has grown, so has the attendance of the National Convention and Expo. Following the 90th National FFA Convention, the National FFA Board of Directors opened a bid process for cities wanting to host the National Convention and Expo beginning in 2025. The final decision was between Atlanta and Indianapolis. The National FFA organization provides leadership, personal growth, and career success training through ag education to 669,989 student members who belong to one of 8,630 local FFA chapters throughout the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The organization is also supported by 459,514 alumni members in 2,236 alumni chapters throughout the U.S. And back here at home in local FFA news, Wednesday, November the 28th, members of the Nokomis FFA chapter traveled to Pena to compete in two Section 19 competitions. Skylar Stewart, Isabella Daly, and Laurel Forrester play second in the Green Hand Quiz Bowl, a competition that tests the students' knowledge of history of the FFA. Two Nokomis members also competed in the job interview competition. The competition was set up as a mock interview where the competitors were tasked with filing out an application, interviewing with three judges, and writing a follow-up letter. Prior to the in-person interviews, the students were asked to submit a job position, cover letter, and resume for the skill set competition. Nokomis members who competed in job interview were Mackenzie Adams and Cody Nodal. And just a last little reminder for you, we'll return today with your chance to win more pork certificates thanks to the Mid-Illinois pork producers, and we'll do that after the 10:30 commodities here on WSMI. That's all I have for this Wednesday morning. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.